This program has been brought to you by Cider Week New York City, happening November 6th through 15th, 2015. For more information, check out ciderweeknyc.com.
I'm Erica Wides, host of Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, and welcome to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jolie Kerr, a cleaning expert, advice columnist, and author of the New York Times bestselling book, My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag, and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. My column, Ask a Clean Person, appears on Deadspin.com, and my guest today is Liam McCabe. Hey, Liam!
Hey, Jolie, what's going on?
Oh, a whole lot. We have a lot to talk about today, and I'm very, very excited that Liam is here in the studio because Liam is a staff writer for The Sweet Home, where he covers the wild world of appliances. He lives in Boston, so probably the two of us are going to bust out some Boston accents at some point during this show. And he enjoys mass production. He also enjoys sassing podcasters on Twitter, which is how he ended up here. After listening to episode 16, he tweeted, "Listening to Jolie Kerr's podcast, Rip Swiffers, wishing it was talk radio so I could call in and rant against Dysons." Well, you should all be very careful what you wish for when it comes to me, because I made Liam take the Chinatown bus down from Boston to join me in the studio so that he can rant about Dysons. That's his reward. So we're going to start off with that reward and let Liam rant a bit about Dysons, which longtime listeners of this podcast will know hurts me to my very core because I love my little Dyson. My little Dyson makes me happy. But Liam has some things to say about that. So Liam, take it away. Yeah, tell me why I'm wrong.
Came down to set the record straight. So Dyson, like, they're fine vacuums. They're perfectly good.
They're better than fine.
They're
lovers.
They're quite good vacuums. But when I was listening to the episode of your show, as I was stuck in traffic in Boston during rush hour, I understood the urge of people to call into sports radio and rant about various sports-related topics, except this time it's vacuums.
I love this. Wait, here. Little-known fact about Jolie Kerr. When I was in college, I was a call screener at the Boston sports radio station, WEEI. I for sure was. So I was the one taking those calls from Sully and Quincy.
Yeah.
Yep. I was the one getting the Liams of the world angry in their cars. I wish they'd been calling about vacuum cleaners.
Yeah, I don't know.
Although I don't think I cared so much about vacuums when I was in college.
Yeah.
Anyway, continue with your ranting.
All right, so,
you're so angry. You're in the car. You're so angry with me.
So Dyson's great in a sense, and Swiffer is not great. I agree with you there.
Yes.
It's just there's so much in between the two that, you know, to go from Swiffer's bad, therefore buy a Dyson. I had a few things to say about that.
Okay, I agree with that, and I'm going to tell you that I didn't write Swiffer's bad. Go to a Dyson.
Right.
I'm passing the buck right now.
Sure.
I'm throwing for Adam Clark Estes, my colleague who writes for Gizmodo, who I adore and I think is very wise. But I'm throwing him right under the bus. Because he's the one who wrote that, not me. I just happen to agree that I really like my little Dyson.
Yeah. So Dyson vacuums are great. The cordless ones are especially good. But the thing is,
and that's what I have. So
right,
you have, and I always say this, that the vacuum that I have serves a very specific need, a highly specific need of mine. And so it makes me happy for that reason. But it's not necessarily what I would tell any Tom, Dick, and Harry out on the street to go buy.
Right.
Because I don't test vacuums. You do.
I do.
Yeah. You do, which is mostly what we're going to talk about today. Do you have more stuff to say about Dyson?
I got plenty of stuff to say
about
Dyson.
Okay, go ahead. I'm letting you rant.
So you have a very specific need. You live in a very small apartment. And
the tiniest apartment in the history of apartments.
It's important to you that you can wall mount the Dyson.
Yes.
And to my knowledge, there's not any other vacuums where you can do that.
Right.
So point to Dyson.
Right, point to Dyson. So let me remind listeners what I have. I have the cordless Dyson stick vacuum. I actually have two models. I have a DC44, which I bought when I returned a wedding present that I didn't want from Amazon.com and put the credit towards the vacuum. And I put that, hey, listen, when I got married, I had finished writing my book. It had not yet been published. But at that point, I felt confident putting $350 of a wedding present credit towards buying a fancy vacuum because I worked really hard on that book.
Yeah.
And when it hit the bestseller list, I was like, see, I was justified.
Yeah. And, you know,
treating myself.
Yeah. If you want to treat yourself, treat yourself. I'm not trying to talk anybody out of buying a Dyson if they've done the research and decided it's the right one.
And that's what I did. And then the other one that I have, of course, it's ridiculous that I have two vacuums in a tiny apartment. It's still, I admit this, it's totally ridiculous. But there's a reason for it. The reason is that the other one I have is the DC 56, which is just a souped up version of the 44.
The 59?
Sorry, 59. Yeah. So, just reversed my numbers there. So it's just a souped up version, basically the same thing. Now is a sample that was sent to me gratis, disclosure time, people, gratis by Dyson because I was testing it for an article I was writing. So there you go. That's why I have two. They work very well for me. But yes, I heard and have and always will couch anything I say about Dysons in the knowledge that I have that they're not perfect machines. Which is a lot of what we're going to talk about today. So you want to talk about why they're not perfect. Talk about the flaws.
The main thing is the price. Like, I can't argue with the performance. We recommended the DC44 as a step up in our cordless vacuum guide at one point. And I think we recommend the V6 trigger, the V6, the base model, which is the same vacuum as the DC59. They just changed the name a couple months ago.
Yeah.
It's the same machine. We recommend it as the step up. Like, if you want extra power in a vacuum or the wall mount is important to you or you've just decided you want, like, the cool Dyson, like, all completely legitimate reasons.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's one thing I'll say for the Sweet Home is that they really take the same approach that I take in terms of saying, like, listen, no judgment. You can decide for yourself what is important and not important for you.
Right.
We're just going to tell you that if X factor is important to you, here's what you want. And if Y factor is important to you, here's what you want in that case. Like, it's a totally judgment-free zone. So, and like, they're like hip at the Sweet Home.
Oh, thanks.
They're cool. They're like me. Like, they make cleaning cool.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
You're not going to laugh at the fact that I just said I make cleaning cool.
That's
the dorkiest thing I've ever said.
I take it pretty seriously. I mean, we're kindred spirits. We both take this pretty seriously.
Yeah. They also, if possible, are more obsessive than I over at the Sweet Home. Hey, do you want to take a question so that we can talk about what you love?
Sure.
Yeah.
I will add one thing.
Oh,
real quick.
He's still not done with the
I'm not quite done. So I was talking about they're a little bit overpriced.
Totally overpriced.
Yeah. If you want like the
If
more,
I didn't have that credit on Amazon, I never would have spent that much money on a vacuum cleaner. Never, never, never.
If you want the cordless thing, if you want something cordless, yet you don't want to spend $300 on it or more.
Which is fair.
We like this vacuum called the Hoover Air Cordless 2-in-1. It's $150 to $180 bucks, depending on what day it is.
Excellent price.
Yep, prices shift. And there's a hand vacuum built into it. It's basically a hand vacuum with a powerful battery on a...
With a stick.
Yeah, on a frame. Like a frame with a floor cleaning head.
Yeah.
That was our favorite.
Which is what the Dyson is.
Yeah, it's same thing.
But
yeah.
the Hoover is half...
Half the price.
Half the price.
And it's like 85% as good at cleaning. On bare floors, it's going to be basically the same. Won't clean thicker carpets as well, but, you know, it's like 85% of what you get with the Dyson, but for half the price.
Right. Great buy. I would encourage everyone to buy that one. Do you want to say the name one more time?
Hoover Air Cordless 2-in-1.
There you go. We all got it. Hoover Air Cordless 2-in-1. Did I say it right?
Yep, that's right.
Okay. All right. With that, let's actually, so question one, I'm going to read it. Usually my guests do the reading and I do the experting, but today Liam is the expert. I love it when there's an expert here so I can sort of sit back and just be chatty. So I'm going to read question one. This is about high-end vacuums. So question one is from Frederick. Dear Jolie, price doesn't matter. I just want the vacuum that will work the best. If the $500 vacuum works better and lasts longer, that is a better deal to me. Details. I have tile floors in the breakfast room and three little kids, no pets. Spills include Cheerios, taco meat, crumbs galore. I need slash want something to pick up all those crumbs so that I don't have to bend down or sweep. I had a dustbuster, but the battery went kaput and it died after only 6 months. Plus, bending down to use it wasn't ideal. So far, Shark, Dyson, the Electrolux cordless stick vacuum, Miele, and a dog have been recommended. I like the dog recommendation. But I've read that the Dyson and Shark can't handle Cheerios. Would appreciate any insight you have. So listen, Frederick, it's not so much that I have insight. I just know the people who do, which is why Liam is going to answer this question. And I actually, Liam and I both liked this question for a pretty specific reason, which was that Frederick, one, told us what he is trying to vacuum up. So that's right. Always important. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in segment two when we talk about how to decide what kind of vacuum is right for you, because there are loads of different kinds of vacuums out there that suit different needs. So Frederick told us, first of all, what it is that he's trying to vacuum up, right? Cheerios, taco meat, crumbs. He also told us the type of flooring he has, right? So tile is the biggest culprit because that's where most of his spills are happening. So you always want to take those two things into account, which we're going to get into in the second segment. But before we do get into that, Liam is going to tell us about high-end vacuums and what they recommend.
So from the first sentence of his question where he said he's willing to pay whatever amount, that right there, that answers a very important question. Like if it's worth it to you to spend the money to get something that's going to last for ages, then you should do it, because the ones that you spend more on, if you get the right one, they actually do last for, they can last for decades or more. So
in your testing, this was cool, you guys. In their post about the best high-end vacuums, they noted that they did 280 hours of testing over 3 years.
Yeah, it's over many years.
And their tests included cat hair, something called furniture slaloms. I loved that term. I was so happy about that. And sliding under couches. So that's how they were testing their vacuum. And the high-end ones, they were saying these will last with little or no maintenance for 20 years. That's a long time.
Yeah, it's some maintenance, but it's not serious work all the time.
It's not what people say about the Dyson, which is that they're constantly in the shop and breaking and blah, 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 blah.
Right. So we really like, if you're going to get a high-end vacuum, we really like the Miele vacuums. Whether it's an upright or a canister, that's a choice you can make. Uprights, they tend to be more popular in people who live in houses, especially if they have lots of open space and carpeting. So people who live in the middle part of the country tend to have larger homes, tend to have more carpeting, and that's why uprights tend to be much more popular in the U.S. than in Europe. But if you want, if you live in a smaller apartment, or you just prefer the design, you can get a canister. They both work equally well, and they can last as long. You know, both can last equally as long as the other kind. A lot of it's personal preference and the type of layout that you have in your house.
Okay, excellent. And I'm going to give listeners a specific model that you recommend. The Miele Dynamic U1 was your number one pick for best high-end vacuum.
Yep, and the base model version of that is the Twist.
Okay, so there you go. Now you've got some actual brands. I will also include links to the extensive, so extensive.
It's very
long. I can't believe how long it was. I mean, I said this. We had your colleagues, Casey and Cesar, on a few episodes ago to talk about laundry detergent, and I said, I was like, if possible, the Sweet Home goes longer and more obsessive than I do. It's amazing. So I'll include these links in the companion post that I put up on deadspin.com to this episode so that everyone can find them. You can also, of course, just go to thesweethome.com and search vacuums in the search field, and you'll come up with all the great work that Liam does there. All right. Did that get most of everything about the high-end vacuums? Do you want to talk a little bit more about Any models or what to look for?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Miele is a safe bet. I mean, okay. People can come up with plenty of good reasons to go with other brands.
Yeah.
But
people
generally,
really love, like, Kirby's. Yeah.
So there's this guy on
Reddit.
Do you
know about the cult of Kirby?
There's a... I don't know about the
cult. I know the guy on
much.
Reddit you're talking about, the Ask a Vacuum Salesman.
Yeah, yeah, I talked to him.
He's amazing.
Yeah, he's great.
He is amazing.
Yeah, he loves Kirby's because he makes so much money fixing them.
Yeah. Put him on blast.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, so, like, Kirby, I mean, I'm sure they're great. Like, we've never tested one because we've never felt it was reasonable to call in a $1,000 vacuum or more. We know we're not going to recommend something that costs that much when there's a $450 Miele that's, you know, 99% as good, if not just as good.
Yeah.
And there's a whole other slew of reasons why you don't want Kirby. Like, you know, not that there's anything wrong with buying something door-to-door, but from a door-to-door salesman, but people aren't generally comfortable doing that anymore. That's
it's
the only way
accessible.
To buy one. Yeah, you can't go to a store and look at a Kirby. You have to either call them and ask them to come to your house,
Or
they
just
do
show
the rounds.
Up.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never had a door-to-door salesman show up at my house.
Yeah, it doesn't happen anymore.
They wouldn't climb the six flights of stairs.
Right.
It wouldn't be worth it.
Right. I mean, in an apartment your size, a Kirby doesn't make any sense anyway.
No.
So.
No.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
The main thing to look for if you want to look for something, if you decide you want to do your own research and go beyond the Miele's that we recommend, you know, please do if you feel like it. You want something bagged because they last much, much longer than bagless vacuums.
That was a very interesting thing that I read in all of your research. I actually want to point out one other interesting little tidbit that they included in the review of best high end vacuums. At the very end of the post, there was a little blurb about what not to vacuum.
Yeah,
and I want to read this because I actually think it was such useful information. And especially because this goes on Deadspin, and I hear a lot of times from the guys at Deadspin, I think this is kind of a male thing. I hate to be too gender essentialist about it, but that they really enjoy like trying to pick up huge things with their vacuum. Like that's like a fun, it's like playing a video game for them in some way.
I understand that urge. Yeah.
So for that crowd, I want to tell you what not to vacuum. So the first one was anything wet spots to save, anything wet for a shop vac, a wet dry vacuum.
If you're going to vacuum it. Yeah.
Yeah. Which we talked fairly extensively about wet dry vacuums. When we did the episode about pet messes with Diana Boscovitz, we talked about the cat barf and dog pee, or maybe it was cat pee and dog barf. Anyway, they're all the same thing. I'm big on wet dry vacs. I think they're great. Another thing not to vacuum is try to be very careful about not vacuuming over the power cord, because eventually that's going to really damage the cord.
Yeah, and there's some models that like Recar vacuums. Their beater bars are particularly aggressive, and it can just ruin
like
the cord
mangle
in one
cord.
Pass.
Yeah, so that's a bad one. Don't vacuum up broken glass. That's just going to be bad news for the interior of your machine,
especially if it's bagged.
Yeah. So the Sweet Home suggests using a broom or a shop vac for that, which both are great suggestions. The other thing, these are just oddball things that I know because I'm me. The cut a potato and use the cut side of the potato to pick up shards of glass, or use a piece of sandwich bread.
That's a good idea.
Pick up shards of glass. So those will both work. A broom's probably easier. But
if you don't have a broom handy.
But people like the weird things. So I like to tell you about the weird things because it's a little amusing. And then the last one, as you probably already guessed based on the little prologue I gave about this, is don't try to vacuum up any large metal or plastic objects, right? It's just, I mean, I get the fun of it, like that you're trying to challenge the vacuum cleaner, but the vacuum cleaner doesn't know that you're playing a game with it.
Right.
You're just going to ruin this thing you spent a lot of money on.
Yeah. You can get away with it until you can't, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you're spending a lot of money. So don't do that. All right. So listen, this is a great time for Liam and I to take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to talk about how to determine what type of vacuum cleaner is right for you. I'm Jolie Kerr, and this is Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
This is the story of men and women who shed not only their clothes, but also their...
to bring profitability to local orchards while reviving heirloom apple varieties by cultivating awareness of craft cider. Cider Week connects cider makers from New York State and select pioneering guest cideries outside the state to buyers from top restaurants, bars, and retail shops across New York City. Those culinary tastemakers, in turn, help increase consumer awareness of cider's pleasures by hosting public events, tastings, dinners, classes, and pairings that build appreciation and demand for regional ciders.
Welcome back to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. I'm Jolie Kerr, and my guest today is the Sweet Homes' Liam McCabe. We've been talking about vacuums. We've been really impassioned about vacuums.
Yeah.
It's good.
I care about this.
I know you do. I'm glad you care, because I care.
Somebody's got to do it.
Listen, you know, here's a weird thing. This, actually, the topics of vacuums is a thing that people really do care about. Yeah. I was shocked to see, I shouldn't have been, but I was shocked to see the response to the podcast episode about the Swiffers, in which we also talked a bit about vacuums. People really were, like, mad.
Yeah.
I mean, I normally don't get a whole lot of, like, hate commentary. Yeah. My readers are, I've lulled them into submission, I think is hardly what it is. But it was, they cross-posted it on Gizmodo, and the Gizmodo readers just went ape. They're so angry.
I think Dyson...
They were calling you names. I mean, they lowered themselves to name-calling. Yeah. Over Swiffers,
people. I'm surprised that would happen on the internet.
I know. It's always shocking when people behave terribly on the internet, isn't it? That was sarcasm. People are awful. So this really is a thing that people care about. And I'm so excited that you're here, because we get to preview a Sweet Home post that isn't even up yet, right?
Yeah.
Is that that's true?
Well, I think, the witch vacuum. Yeah.
The witch vacuum to buy. So... Right. When we were preparing for the episode, Liam mentioned that they are just about to, but do you have a pub date for it yet?
Not off the top of my head.
Okay.
Next week or two.
November-ish?
Yeah,
November-ish. So in November-ish, the Sweet Home is going to be publishing a guide called...
Which vacuum should I get?
Which vacuum should I get? Yeah. About as straightforward as you can be.
Yep.
Question two is related to this. Before we get into this question two, I actually want to just quickly read off the categories that they picked. And then we'll read question two, we'll answer it, and we'll talk a little bit more with the remaining time we have about how to answer the question within each category that they've picked. So here are the categories, and I think they're great ones. I'm so impressed by this work. I want a simple, affordable vacuum. Great. Some people just want that. Then the next one was, I am willing to spend money for a long-lasting vacuum cleaner. Yep. The next one was, I live in an apartment or a small house. Right, so that's the Jolie.
Yep, that's
question.
The cordless ones.
Yeah. The next one will surprise nobody. I have pets. Right, pet owners need.
Yeah, you can't get around that question.
They need a vacuum. Yeah, yep. and they want to know what to buy. Another very good one is, I need a lightweight vacuum. If you live in a home with a lot of stairs, you want something lightweight. If you have a disability of any sort that makes lifting, carrying, holding a vacuum difficult for you, lightweight is going to be very important. Another one, I'm going to save the one that has to do with our question for last. Another very good one, I have asthma or allergies. What vacuum do I buy?
Yep.
I have scratch prone flooring. If you have a home with a lot of soft tile or soft stone, you need to be very worried. Also, if you have soft wood floors, they're not common,
right,
but people have them.
Yeah.
And you have to be very careful about those.
Very careful.
Another category that they identified is, I want a vacuum that I can use in my car.
Yep.
I have thoughts on that, because I have a car guy. Like, you're my vacuum guy, I have a car guy.
All right.
Freddie Hernandez. He's coming on, not next episode, but the episode after that, to do more with me. So I've got thoughts on car vacuums, and Freddie has even more.
Okay.
Related to the car vacuum question, one of the other categories they selected is, I need a little vacuum for little messes. And then the last one before we get to the one that has to do with our question, is they did Best Robot Vax. Now, I told Liam, as we were getting ready to go on the air, not to mention anything about the Robot Vax, because I want to have him come back, and I want to have him come back with Adam Clark Estes of Gizmodo, who is our anti-Swiffer guy, and I want the two of them to sit with me, and we're going to talk all about Robot Vax. So be on the lookout, listen out, I guess, for that in season three, because I'm going to schedule that. That brings us to the final category that the Sweet Home identified to try to help people determine what vacuum to buy. And that was what people with long, thick carpets should pick.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm going to read question two, which has to do with, it's actually a combo, believe it or not. It's question two from Anna, as the case may be. And she writes to me, I bought a beautiful white shag rug despite the advice against buying such an easily stained surface for my black cats, plural cats, to shed and hairball on. While I will never admit that this maybe wasn't the most savvy purchase, I love the rug and want to keep it as pristine as possible. So my question is about vacuums. I have a regular old vacuum that works just fine on low pile rugs, but I don't think it has enough suction power for the high pile shag, and I'm worried that it just can't suck all of the cat hairs out. Do you have a recommendation for a vacuum that has the suction power I need for both the pet hair and to get down and deep into the shag? I'm on a budget, so it needs to be somewhat inexpensive, ideally less than $100. I'm totally open to a handheld option if that would be cheaper, despite it taking longer to cover the surface area of the rug. All right, before I have Liam do his expert thing, I'm going to say two things about this. The first is that as I was reading this, Liam is violently shaking his head when I got to the part about somewhat inexpensive, ideally less than $100.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to find that.
Nope.
It's just not going to be possible. So, you know, unfortunately, Anna, you have cats and you've made the decision to get a deep pile rug, and that's going to mean that you are going to have to spend more money.
A little more. Yeah.
We're going to try not to break the bank with you here, but yeah, we want to be upfront that you're going to have to spend some money to get the right tool for the job. But listen, you love the rug, you love your cats, and you know you want everything to look nice, so just try to balance the cost of the vacuum over the lifespan of the vacuum, and maybe it'll make you feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
You can think, you know, I'm going to spend X amount of money, it's going to last for 10 years, so really I'm spending, you know, Y per year, and it's
right,
not that bad. The other thing I want to mention, actually, you know, Liam, I'm going to have you talk about pet hair first.
Sure.
The pet criteria, because I was actually really interested to see what the Sweet Home's answer was.
Yeah. So we haven't found anything conclusive that says you need a special vacuum for pets. There's just any vacuum is going to be able to clean up after your pets. Some are a little more efficient than others.
Okay.
But
I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah, I mean,
it was like, don't fret. I think you guys wrote, like, don't sweat it.
Yeah, don't sweat it, basically. Like, if you buy a bad vacuum, it's going to be bad at picking up pet hair along with everything else. It's just pet hair is the most visible thing in
right,
your house if you're a pet owner. So
yeah,
you get the, you know, it's more obvious to you that the vacuum's not doing a very good job.
Right. You had something to say about bagged vacuums, though, with regards to pet,
yeah,
hair.
So that's this is a tough one. You kind of have to figure this out on your own. If you have a lot of pets that are very hairy, they can fill up bags very quickly, and it you know, we don't think that the cost of bags in general is cost prohibitive. It shouldn't be something to deter you from buying a really good vacuum. But if you need to replace them two or three times as often as everybody else because of the amount of hair, then that adds up. It goes from $20 a year for vacuums to $60, you know.
Right.
It's not, it's a consideration at that point.
Yeah. You want to think about it. So
right,
one model that they mentioned for pets was the Shark Navigator Lift Away. NV352 is the model number that was
yeah,
in the, so I always like to give specific names and models. I just think it helps people who are just like, just tell me the answer, Jolie.
And this is the exact same vacuum that we recommend in our first category. I just want a simple, affordable vacuum.
Yes, exactly.
It's a bagless upright. You know, bagless don't last as long as bag, but if you're paying less for it up front, then that's fine. Like, you'll be okay with that, and it sort of solves the issue of pet hair filling up the bags and that raising the cost. So it is a strain on the vacuum. Like, I've heard some speculation that the oils from the hairs can sort of start to clog the interior of the vacuum. I don't know if that's true.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know if that's true, but you know, bagless vacs, they don't last as long anyways. A lot of that has to do with just generally cheaper construction. It's not necessarily that the fact that it's bagless is harder on the system. That has something to do with it. It's a combination of factors.
Okay. All right. So now, with that said, where Anna is going to be able to determine that the factors she needs to care about more have to do more with the type of rug rather than the type of mess that she's cleaning
up.
So now we have to talk about the long, thick carpets, the shags, the deep piles.
Shag is difficult to deal with.
Yeah.
Most vacuums are built to work on bare floors and low pile carpets and do pretty well on medium pile carpets. Long shag carpet, it's not very common anymore, so.
It should be.
Yeah.
I love.
It is very comfortable.
I love shag.
Yeah.
My dream in life is to live in a home with a conversation pit with shag carpeting.
You're going to need a special vacuum for that room.
Listen, I'm happy to get one. I know the answer. I already know what to get.
Right.
Do you want me to tell the answer? Because I know, or do you want to tell the answer?
Well, it depends on how much you want to spend.
All right, you tell the answer. You did the research.
So,
it's your answer.
Since Anna's on a budget, and she's not going to get the $100, like, that's just out of the question, unfortunately. But there is an affordable vacuum with an adjustable cleaning head, which is important. You want to create distance from the ground to the intake so that the brush roller doesn't the fibers from the carpet don't get tangled on the brush roller.
Right.
So the most affordable good vacuum that we found that met those criteria is from Panasonic. It's the Panasonic MC-CG902.
I want you all to know that he just rattled that off without even looking at his notes.
I got one of those memories.
That's
you know?
So cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of have a memory like that too, but probably not for model numbers.
Anyway, yeah.
That was good. Say it again.
Panasonic MC-CG902.
Okay.
Comes with the territory, remembering these kind of model names.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. It does. So the feature that you want to look for if you can't find the Panasonic, or if you see a deal on something else that you think might be good, is a height adjusting model.
Yeah.
That's the feature to look for that's going to help you with shag and other deep pile carpeting. So do you know how much that Panasonic retails for about?
It depends. I think it's usually $180.
Okay, not bad.
Yeah, not bad.
And
it's the same vacuum that they sell at Sears under the Kenmore brand. It's the same vacuum as the Kenmore 21514.
You're like the Rain Man of vacuums.
Again,
so great.
I'm fresh off researching this too, so it's
okay.
Pretty fresh
right now. One of my favorite bartenders, I'm just remembering this as I said that to you. One of my favorite bartenders once, he had a spill and I was in the bar and he was like, Jolie, how do I fix this? And I rattled off whatever the solution was to it. And he was like, Jolie, how do you know all this stuff? And I was like, I don't know. He was like, you're like the Rain Man of cleaning.
Yeah, it's what you do.
And I was queerly flattered by that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just,
I was really
just
proud
what
of
we
myself.
Do.
Yeah, it's what we do. We really love our jobs. Okay, so we have about 10 more minutes.
Okay.
I want to run through, because I think we did a really good job helping Anna out.
Hope so. I hope it works for her.
I want to run through the answers to the other criteria.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, so we've hit on some of them, but we'll just do sort of a speed round.
All right,
like
lightning round.
Yeah, lightning round, yeah. Exactly. Okay, so for the simple affordable, what are the features, Liam, that you think people should look out for?
The feature I think you want.
Or the style of vacuum,
I
should say.
I think a bagless upright is probably the right bet for most people.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're very in favor of bagged vacuums because they last longer, but if you're honest with yourself and you know that you're not going to do a very good job of keeping the filters and bags clean, then you might as well just get something bagless. And if you want something cheap that will last for about 5 years anyways, that you can, that's a fair thing to expect from like $150 to $170.
Sounds great.
Bagless upright.
And that's the Shark Navigator that
yep,
you guys like.
The NV352. Yep.
Okay. Okay, so the expensive long-lasting one, you want to talk about the what people should look for if they're looking for an expensive long-lasting?
Yeah, we covered this a little bit in the first segment. Yeah. It's you want a bagged vacuum, most importantly. You want to make sure it has really good filtration because that's what lets it keep working for a long time without getting, you know, weird clogs in the ductwork inside and all that. And you want something generally with good build quality too. Certain kinds of plastics last longer than others. You don't really want anything made of metal because they're really heavy and you're not going to enjoy using it for 20 years.
Yeah.
So Miele makes really good high-end bagged vacuums. They say that they'll last for 20 years.
Okay.
We think that's about right because we've heard plenty of stories from repair people who are servicing Miele's that have been around for that longer.
And the other brand you guys mentioned was SIBO.
Yeah, SIBO. It's another German company.
Yeah. SEBO.
Yep. It stands for something really long in German.
Yeah. Oh.
I
bet it's really good.
Yeah.
It's like super complicated.
Yeah.
Very
the
specific.
Translation.
Like, it includes Cheerios somewhere in one of the words.
Yeah. The translation is something like German semi-commercial vacuum company.
Ugh, sounds good to me.
Yeah. They make good vacuums. It's hard to find them is the problem.
Oh, okay. All right. So Miele, you can find it everywhere.
Yeah.
And actually, I'll tell you, I always hear great things about the Miele. People love them. The very first guest on the very first episode of this show, Corey Sika, who came here to talk to me about cat hair and human hair, has two cats at the home, and in a very clean home. And he has a Miele, and he talks about how much he loves the Miele. So there you go. Miele is a very good one. All right. So for the Jolie style vacuum, the apartment, small house, what should people look for in that situation?
I used to live in a small apartment as well. And cordless vacuum is so much more convenient than dealing with a cord.
I love my cordless.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It doesn't clean as well most of the time unless you spend the money for the Dyson. Well, you spent the money on the Dyson.
Yeah, I spent
you got
the money
the Dyson.
On the Dyson.
Yeah.
See, he just admitted that the Dyson's good.
Yeah.
He just admitted it.
Right.
I've broken you.
Yeah. Cordless is what you want, though.
I zip around that house. First of all, I vacuum every day because I'm weird and obsessed. I'm weird about hair.
There are a lot of people who vacuum every day.
But the thing is, I do it because it's easy, because I can just grab this thing off the wall, push go, and just zip around. It takes a minute.
Yeah, it's
it
one less.
No time.
It's like one less mental obstacle than unrolling the cord and putting it in the
which
the
I
outlet.
Hate doing. I hate bending down, and I hate tripping
rolling
over the cord.
Yeah.
And all, you know, it's a whole
gets
thing.
Gets caught on the furniture.
Yeah, whole thing. Can't stand. Anyway, love my Dyson. It's okay if nobody else does. It's like the Dyson is like candy corn, right? I love candy corn, and I don't care if you don't like it.
Yeah.
All right, so we did the pets. You know, we said don't fret. Yeah,
nothing in
maybe
particular.
Maybe avoid bags.
Maybe.
If you have extremely hairy and a number of pets.
Maybe. That's a personal call.
But that's, like, not the biggest deal in the world.
Right.
The lightweight.
Yeah.
How do you define lightweight?
Under 10 pounds.
Okay. I think that's a good one. I just think it's helpful for people to get a sense of the actual weight and what they should be looking for. If they say they want lightweight, what does that mean?
Yeah, it's a sliding scale for different people, obviously, but we 10 seem like a good cutoff, so that's what we went with.
All right, I think that's a good one. And so you said just, you know, lightweight upright or canister is going to be the way to go for that.
Well, yeah, so I should
Do you
clarify.
Have a recommendation in that category or no?
The Shark Navigator is 12 pounds, which is doable.
Okay.
We tested a few lightweight uprights from Auric and one from Simplicity. And personal taste is going to factor into it so much that that was one we kind of shied away from making a recommendation on.
That's because it's the Dyson and you didn't want to say it.
No. Dyson uprights are the full size ones. Those are heavy. Yeah.
I've used those. I went to a demo thing where they were showing their new models, and I was pushing one of those new models. I was working up a sweat pushing this thing.
Yeah, they're
it
like 18 pounds.
Beast.
Yeah.
Mine is very light.
And the other thing about lightweight, I should clarify, is that canister vacuums, they aren't light on their own. They can be just as heavy as uprights, but since you carry them in two hands, a lot of people find it more manageable.
True. That's a good point. That's a good point to make. I find them unwieldy, but I think that's because I'm petite, and so they hit me like... They hit me at the hip in a weird way, and it's uncomfortable.
People who grew up in Europe...
Maybe that should be another criteria, if you're very tall or very short.
Yeah, we thought about that. It's not...
I don't know. I don't think it's, like, the biggest deal.
Yeah, there's not... I'm on the edge of being
too
tall.
Of course it's not a lot of people, because a lot of people are average.
Right, exactly.
It's only the special ones among us who are petite or very tall.
Right.
I'm petite, guys. You can't see me.
I'm pretty tall.
I'm short. Okay, we did long, thick carpets. We've got a few more to go through. Very important one. Asthma and allergy sufferers.
Yeah. So, we're not experts on this, and we don't want to give people the wrong information. The Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America, AFA, has a list of products that they recommend, and it's probably safe to go off of their list.
Yeah.
There are some people who disagree with their picks. Some people think that... We spoke to one indoor air quality consultant. He said he would never recommend a bagless vacuum to anybody with allergies or asthma or air quality concerns in their household.
Well, of course, because you have to empty it.
Right.
I mean, it's like a plume of filth comes out every time you empty the...
Right.
Obviously, mine's, you know, I have a stick vacuum, so obviously it's bagless.
Right.
And it's, the emptying part is gruesome.
Right. I asked someone at AFA about that, and they're like, you can work around it by wrapping a plastic bag around your wrist and...
By wrapping a plastic bag around your head.
Yeah, and it's
don't do that. That was a joke.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
It's probably fine, but bagged is a much more foolproof way to keep the dust trapped.
Yeah, I think that just to my own limited knowledge, sounds absolutely correct. So they recommend a high quality bagged vacuum.
Yeah.
And actually, you guys gave a specific model, which I'm going to say it's the Miele Dynamic U1 Jazz.
Yeah, it's the step up from the Twist. It's an extra $100. Okay. It comes standard with a HEPA filter.
Okay.
The base model doesn't have a HEPA filter. It's probably fine for most people.
Okay.
Just as important as the quality of the filter is the sealing around the rubber gaskets around the interchange points.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cheap vacuums that have filters that technically meet HEPA capabilities, but it's like there's no
seal.
Gaskets. Yeah. So the air just goes around the filter.
Right. Doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
You're going to hate me for this, but I'm going to say it anyway. For people who do suffer from asthma and allergies, one place you probably already know this. I hope someone's told you. If not, now you're going to know. One place to be very particular about keeping clean is your bed space. So your mattress and your pillows and, you know, duvet or comforters and anything that can have a buildup of dust mites is really going to aggravate asthma and allergies, especially obviously if you have a dust mite allergy.
Yeah.
Dust mite allergies are not terribly common, but they do happen. Dyson makes a mattress vacuum that I have tested and is outrageous.
Yes.
It's so cool how well it works. And the suction, out of curiosity, disclosure again, that was another test model that was given to me by Dyson for an article I was doing. Out of curiosity, I put it on the floor to compare it to the suction of my Dyson vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically stuck to it was like a magnet to the floor.
Really?
It was so powerful.
Huh.
So that's something to consider for allergy sufferers. Let's get through these last few quickies for scratch prone flooring.
Yeah, there's not many people who are going to need to worry about this.
Totally minor.
Yeah, it's minor, but if you scratch it, you're going to be really upset.
You're
going to be real pissed. So you want something that comes with a special parquet floor tool is what it's called.
Yeah.
It's meant for parquet wood floors, but it's soft enough for stone tile.
Yep.
Basically, there's no wheels that can accidentally scratch the stone.
And no beater bar.
No beater bar. Right.
Exactly.
It's suction only.
Yeah. The car vacuum.
Yeah, we like the Black & Decker 20 volt max flex vac.
Yep.
BDH 2020 FLFH.
Oh, God, I love you. You're such a nerd.
Literally just finished working on
woohoo!
Today.
So, okay, all right.
Yeah.
So basically a flexible handheld is the answer.
And yeah.
The Black & Decker max flex back. That's hard to say.
Yeah, it's hard to say. We like it because it's got a lot of suction, and there's a 4-foot hose, and it has attachments. You can get under the seats and around
under
them.
The seats. That's the thing. Cars are really weird and tricky, so that's a great one. Similarly, a little vacuum for little messes. They also recommend a Black & Decker. It's a pivot vac, 18-volt pivot vac.
This one we just changed.
Did you change it on me?
We just changed that today.
Today?
But it's not posted yet, but we decided to make a different pick. The pivot vac is still good, but...
Do you want to tell us what it is, or you want to let people be surprised?
This one I can't remember the...
I gotcha.
Yeah, it's okay. But it's a 16-volt Black & Decker with... 16-volt lithium battery. That's what's important.
Okay.
The lithium battery.
Okay.
The old NiCad batteries lose suction.
So which sounds like the problem that our first, Frederick, or the guy who asked our first question, may have had with his black, because he said he had a handheld that died.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to wrap this up, and we're going to tease the return of Liam in season 3 by saying the best robot vac. Do you remember which one it is?
Yeah, it's the Roomba 650.
Yeah, it was an easy one.
Yeah, it's an easy one.
Yeah. So on that note, we are out of time. Blew by. It was great.
I could talk for hours.
I know. I could too, which is why I'm really excited to have you come back in season 3 to talk about robot vacuums. I'll see if Adam can join us, because I know he's very excited about some developments in the robot vacuum world.
It's actually a very big time in robot vacuums.
It is a big time.
Right now, it's happening.
It's actually a big time generally for cleaning robots, because there's a whole bunch of new functionalities being developed by the robots.
Yep.
But you guys will all have to wait until season 3 to hear us talk about that. On that note, a big thank you to my guest today, the Sweet Homes, Liam McCabe.
Thanks, Julie.
Especially for coming all the way from Boston, my hometown. Thank you also to my engineer, Liz Smith, and to our sponsor, Cider Week. Today's music was provided by RecTech. If you like what you heard today, and why wouldn't you like 45 minutes about vacuums, please consider subscribing on iTunes and leaving a rating. It would also be wonderful if you would tell your pals about this weird little cleaning show that you enjoy so very, very much. And of course, thank you to you, my listeners. I'm Jolie Kerr, and this has been Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.